Back at it here on The Fan. It's Jonathan with you guys. Hope you guys are all enjoying your evening. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ashley Bastak writes for Cleveland.com, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Ashley, thanks for giving us a few minutes. How you been?
Yeah, good. Just kind of thinking about, you know, the heading into the Super Bowl and some local storylines there. I'll have some stuff, I'll tease it, some stuff up later this week or next week, because of course that's what we do. So be sure to keep an eye on Cleveland.com for that, some interesting local angles with this Super Bowl. And also just thinking a lot about the Browns core players. We've been writing about it, we've been talking about it. So as we know, the NFL is a year-round sport, even though the Browns have been done for years. So they still are taking up most of my thought process on most days.
I like the teases. I'm curious to see what you guys will do beyond the Kelce Bowl.
Yeah, you know, that is the big one, of course. I mean, I think I tweeted that immediately after the Chiefs put the Bengals away. But come on, that's a fun local storyline with the Kelce brothers, and just a really random, like, I was so surprised that this is the first time two brothers have played in the Super Bowl against each other, because I never would have thought, like, the odds seem so much greater to have two brothers coaching in the NFL together that we would get that first coaching against each other in a Super Bowl from, of course, the Harbaugh Bowl a few years back. Like, I can't believe this is the first time two brothers have been on opposing teams. I thought that was kind of wild.
Yeah, I don't know if it makes me feel good or bad. You know, we were talking at the Greater Cleveland Sports Awards about, you know, you playing college hoops, and you were joking about the idea that basically if you're over 6 feet tall, you can get a D3 basketball scholarship to some school as a woman. And I was like, okay, well, that's great for genetics, right? If you're over 6 feet, you got a chance. When you start having a bunch of brothers in play, it kind of makes me feel bad. It makes me feel like, well, I guess my kid is never going to have a chance to go pro when I have a kid. Like, it's not going to work that way.
Well, especially when it's like two guys who are from here, right? Like, it makes it more hyper-local, and you think, oh my God, these two guys, like, not only are brothers coming from the same family, but they're from the place that I live, from literally, like, down the road. They played high school football and basketball and hockey, which, speaking of, can you imagine a Kelce brother, like, ramming you into the glass on a hockey rink? Like,
that would be awful. That would be, I would much rather do basically anything in life than that.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Or, like, trying to hit a fastball from Travis Kelce, like, insane. Like, in baseball, like, it's just, like, I can't even think about them as high school athletes here, but, like, they were, which is crazy that they were in this talent pool. And, you know, back in the aughts, there was, like, so much high school talent, I feel like, especially in the early to mid aughts, especially in football. Like, they almost got overlooked. And, of course, they weren't, you know, went to Cincinnati. It's not like they went to these big-time schools or anything. They went to a group of five schools. So it's really, I think, just a truly fantastic story to think about now, and that they literally came from down the road. It's mind-boggling. I still haven't wrapped my head around it that we're getting this in less than 2 weeks now.
It is kind of wild. I feel like, did we discuss The Bachelor at all? I don't remember. Did we talk Bachelor?
No, but you know what? I am like the only millennial woman who does not watch The Bachelor, if you can believe it. But I
really
am in a Bachelor. I am in a Bachelor fantasy league, though, and I don't watch the show.
That's
but
wild.
I make picks every week, and the last 2 weeks I have finished in last place. And I'm
I
so
hear it's a really boring season. I'm not watching this year. I hear it's a really boring season. But I was thinking about Travis Kelce's season. Like, not on The Bachelor. Yeah. It wasn't The Bachelor, but he did this own, like,
Catching Kelce.
Exactly right.
I was just thinking about this the other day. Kind of, like, wild. I looked it up. I think it happened around, like, 2016, if my years are right. I'm surprised to pick it a second season, because that relationship didn't work out. And he's, like, probably the most eligible bachelor in the NFL, I would say.
They need to run it back. This could be part two.
They need to make him The Bachelor.
Why not?
Speaking of The Bachelor.
Now, could most people, could they get on board? Would you watch The Bachelor then if Travis Kelce was The Bachelor?
Probably that would be what converts me. And I'll tell you what, I don't watch The Bachelor because I think I'm better than it. Like, trust me, I know I am not better than watching The Bachelor. And I think some people get into that. They think they're too highbrow for it. My problem is it's such a time commitment.
Yeah.
That I just, like, feel like I don't have, because it's, like, 2-hour-long episodes. And I'm like, once I get sucked into this, I'm going to be sucked in. But I think if you put Travis Kelce or, like, you know, so many of these guys, say, like, they're, like, former practice squad NFL players. If you put a big-name NFL player on there, like, the ratings, including me, I'd be +1, would skyrocket, because, absolutely, it's the must-see television, I think.
All right. Well, I've been reading your pieces at Cleveland.com, as I always like to do. And yesterday you broke down the Browns' core of the defensive line. We know Miles is great. What else did you come up with?
Yeah, so basically when I was writing that, you know, we combined defensive tackle and defensive end for this post. And it just became really clear, like, laying it all out. I don't think this is anything that we didn't already know. But, like, for me, it's Miles Garrett and then everybody else. Because he basically got no help this year. And I think, like, how we divided it was core players, potential core players, bubble players, and then other players, essentially. And for me, it's like a core player, and we discussed this as a staff, and like we're going to be hard graders amongst the beat writers. And we were kind of like assuming this is a guy who you could see being a key contributor for the next 3 to 5 years. And I think right now it's really hard to say that they have that anywhere else besides Miles Garrett on the defensive line. But you do have some younger guys like Alex Wright, Perrion Winfrey, Isaiah Thomas, who I did end up putting in the potential core player category, just because I think they're so young that it makes it like those questions, they have more questions around them. And I think you can say, okay, well, they might develop into something here that they become, you know, key pieces on this defense or guys who are getting regular defensive snaps as they mature and as they mature under Jim Schwartz. So for me, those were my top four guys that I ended up going with. But I'll say it was really hard after Miles Garrett. It kind of became like, how do I sort the rest of these guys? Because you got a guy like Jordan Elliott, like I went back and forth with him and ultimately just decided, you know what, he didn't make a jump this year like we all expected. So I'm going to put him on the bubble because I think he has to make a jump to really show he can contribute at defensive tackle. He ranked 131st in defensive grades among all defensive linemen with a minimum snap count, according to PFF. So, like, that to me right there, it's hard to say, okay, this guy could potentially be a core player when he didn't make a big jump that everyone was kind of – we heard about that all offseason from everybody about how Jordan Elliott was, like, a different guy coming in this year, and we just didn't see that on the field. So it's a tough position to have to analyze and figure out, like, oh, this is pretty bleak this year in terms of production and rushing passers.
Well, somebody that was up on the higher end, the good end of the curve, was Perrion Winfrey. I was a little surprised to see that. I think your logic was sound. Like the idea that his biggest problem last year was really he just didn't know how to be a pro. That was the biggest thing standing in his way. Like, his talent is there. It's very obvious he's very talented. But he had the issues that Miles Garrett even, of course, turns kind of made Miles look like a hypocrite, but at times, you know, Miles was like, hey, Perrion, you got to get it together. You got to be more of a pro. Like, here we are.
Yeah. And I think for me, like putting him in that category, that potential core player category, I've really just been kind of reminded as I was reading this, like he was pretty good at rushing the passer when he was in Oklahoma. Like he was a good interior pass rusher. They actually moved him around the line a little bit, I think. And he came up with 5.5 sacks in his final year at Oklahoma before the Browns drafted him. So I think given what we know about Jim Schwartz, right? Like I think he can get guys to listen to him. So I think that's going to be key. Like Perrion Winfrey has to accept like, okay, I need to learn how to be a pro and I need to listen to what this guy and what these coaches and veterans are telling me to do. But I think the other interesting thing about him is obviously we know his ability to create one-on-one matchups for his pass rushers. So I'm really curious to see if he can unlock that side of Perrion Winfrey. I think as the season went on, you started to see him, like he looked a little bit more stronger and confident to me, and he was getting to quarterbacks, and he had a couple of batted passes at the line. Like you did see flashes of good things from him, but you're exactly right. I mean, I think his biggest issue was the maturity and learning what it takes to be a pro in this league. I mean, that's a big adjustment for a guy to make from college to the NFL, just in their day-to-day and the time they have to put in. So I do think that he could easily go another way, but he could also, I think, be better than a lot of people are expecting if he can turn it around from a maturity standpoint.
Ashley, we had your coworker, our friend Mary Kay Cabot, on the station earlier today, and they were going back and forth, the guys and then her, and they were talking about whether or not Deshaun should have input on the roster. Do you feel like he should have his fingerprints on what happens in Berea?
Well, now I'm going to have to go back and listen to what Mary Kay said for this. I'm really curious because I didn't hear that. But, you know, I almost think, like, you have to let him have some kind of input. He needs to be vocal if he feels like there is something that he is missing, or if he feels like there's a guy out there, like Cooks is a guy who came up, you know, repeatedly last offseason, right? Like, are they going to go get him? DeAndre Hopkins is a name that comes up. People will be wondering if the Browns are going to go get him because of the connection they had in Houston. Like, if Deshaun feels like there's a name out there that this roster is missing that could really help him, I think that needs to be a part of the man-to-man discussions that he's having with Kevin Stefanski that, you know, he talked about on Getaway Day with us, because the reality of the day is, like, he's the future of the franchise now. By nature of his contract, by nature of $230 million guaranteed, like, it's his team. So I think you have to listen, and Deshaun Watson can't be afraid to speak up and say what's on his mind if he feels like certain pieces are missing. But I think by nature of his contract, he kind of earns that, because that's who this team is built around now.
I agree 100%. Like, when you pay that type of money, he should be able to, like, take a grocery list, right? Like, hey, okay, I want this guy, I want this guy, and Andrew Berry should just go out there and do the bidding. But I don't know that it's going to go down that way. And part of me wonders whether or not Andrew Berry will think, you know, Andrew Berry has a lot of belief in what Andrew Berry can do, as he should. But if you look through his draft history for the wide receiver position, he's basically just gotten one guy done. Right? Donovan Peoples-Jones. And if Donovan Peoples-Jones was so good, and I do like Donovan Peoples-Jones, but if he was so good, Ashley, we wouldn't be having the conversation about whether or not they need to trade for an elite wide receiver. So I don't know. Do you draft a guy, or do you have to go out in free agency where it seems like Andrew Berry would have better luck?
It's so tough. You know, I do think he has had better, like, free agency moves when you look at it. And like you said, kind of given his draft history now, I think there are a lot of guys he's drafted that have question marks near them, and because they don't have a first round pick, I think that makes it difficult. You know, this isn't like last year's receiver class that was super deep. I mean, that was like, that receivers and edge rushers last year were like the groups of the draft. Now, admittedly, I haven't had time to go through all of these draft prospects yet. We're not quite to combine preparing time here in terms of my workflow, but I do think, like, overall, you just need it. It to me just has felt like a veteran receiver short. That's what this room felt like last year. I think you need a speedy guy, but I think you just also need some more, like, maturity and maybe a different, like, leadership style or personality in that room, because those top three guys in Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, and David Bell, like, I wrote a story about this during the year. They're all very similar. They're all, like, kind of quiet guys, but they're very focused. Like, I think maybe you need something a little bit different in that room, and maybe a veteran guy who you don't have to wait to develop in this offense that can just kind of hit the ground running, literally and figuratively, playing with Deshaun.
Ashley, I looked it up. Travis Kelce and the girl that he chose in Catching Kelce, they broke up. They dated for like 5 years, which in the Bachelor world would be a massive success, though.
That's, I had no idea it was 5 years.
They dated for a really long time.
Success. That's like the longest probably reality dating show relationship that's ever made it.
It's a massive success. But here, let me tell you why TMZ reported that they broke up, though. I don't know if this is not going to make it in the profile if you do one on Travis coming up shortly, okay? Travis Kelce has denied being a cheap boyfriend. Apparently, according to TMZ, he was basically making her pay her own way throughout the entire relationship.
Oh my gosh, what allegations. That's tough allegations.
That's hard to come back from.
When TMZ has it, it's like, you know, somebody leaked it with some intention, right? Like, probably somebody from her camp, I'm guessing, would have put that information out there, whispered it into a little bird's ear, whatever have you. But, yeah, man, that's a tough allegation. I don't know. That's tough. I never truly believe anything from TMZ or the gossip column. So I'm willing to give our hometown guy the benefit of the doubt and say, you know what? He's just a down-to-earth guy. Give him a break.
I think that's got to be fair, right? You know, this is forget the football. They need to talk about this on their Chasing Heights podcast.
Oh, absolutely. He should be using, if I was him and I had a podcast that reached that many people, I would be defending myself for the entire, like, I'd probably make it a week-long series.
I would have made a two-hour episode being like, I'm not cheap, here's the reasons why. And you just go through all the receipts of the different times that you bought dinner and that you bought, you know, jewelry and all this different stuff. Got to happen. Ashley Bastock, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. We're reading all your stuff at cleveland.com. We'll have everything that you have with the Super Bowl and some of the profiles you have. Quickly, though, because we probably won't talk to you before the Super Bowl gets underway, who's your Super Bowl pick?
Oh, man. I've been going back and forth, honestly. I just, for some reason, I don't know why, I'm thinking Chiefs. Like, I'm just thinking the Chiefs are just going to get it done. I know the Eagles have been rolling. They took care of business. But I feel like some of this adversity Kansas City went through, Mahomes will have had a couple of weeks with the ankle and get that healed up a little bit more. I'm just feeling like these guys are determined to get number two here. And I don't know why. I'm just leaning AFC.
Betting against Mahomes doesn't usually pay off for people, so I like it as well. It's a good call. Thank you, exactly. Ashley. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.